And on a gray, rainy Thursday, we welcome you into the gym class. 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Local programming getting underway with the gym class, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. I'm Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Good show coming up for you. Dave Koken will join us from Las Vegas, plenty to talk about as far as the world of NFL football, college football is concerned. We'll kick that around with Dave coming up. Then Adam Rittenberg joins us before 4 o'clock today. We'll talk a little more in depth about college football, the Outback Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, the college football playoff, and more. We'll do that with Adam Rittenberg coming up on the program today. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Stop on by. They're locally owned and operated. Great place for lunch to get together with friends and family, coworkers after a work day. Bring the family during the holidays. Stop on by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. We didn't have turkey, so it's not tryptophan kicking in here today, Mark, but we had our annual KZIA building-wide holiday dinner today and extravagant white elephant exchange. And, yeah, we're all a little sleepy, I think, right now.
I didn't overeat. It's fun watching the bachelors in the building load up their plates. Like they've never eaten before. Kyle Mann, our producer today.
What are you saying about Kyle? That he had two plates full?
He's just awoken from a slumber, I think.
He didn't have two plates full. Come on, help yourself out.
You see the first one?
I did.
The first one made up for the second one that I didn't need to go get. But I just like ham, and I like cheesy potatoes with corn, and, you know, I just love Christmas meals. So
a lot of good food, and that's a day you look forward to, right?
Yeah, I was excited. I was very excited. We just had the Thanksgiving meal about a month or so ago. The Christmas one, even better.
Even better.
A lot of good cooks in the building.
There are a lot of good cooks in the building.
Yeah, I think Michelle, she's new this year. She came through with a couple real nice dishes.
Yes, very good stuff. Everybody came through. It was great.
A lot of fun.
So we had that today in the building. I'm sure a lot of buildings going through that here today and next week and weeks after and whatnot as the holidays are upon us. 319-366-1600. I asked at the beginning of the program, Mark, can history repeat itself as today the news, or at least news being made as far as the sports world in the state of Iowa, a Eastern Iowa legislator has taken it upon himself to try to introduce a bill, or thinking about introducing a bill when the legislature starts to meet in 2019, that would try to get Big Four basketball, revive it, if you will, after the end of the Big Four Classic last weekend. And so far the reaction has kind of been outcry by people. The typical, hey, do your job situation instead of worrying about what happens as far as athletics is concerned. But there is a little bit of a precedent, and I talked about this in my Sports View on Monday. I hope people caught that.
Yeah, if you remember back, if you're old enough to remember the resumption of the Iowa State football series, it was Bill Reichert, who was a former Iowa football player, then in the Iowa legislature, kind of spearheaded the effort of the Iowa legislature to bring these two teams together. And I recall at the time, a lot of fans were clamoring for the two teams to get back together. And it involved not only, you know, a handshake agreement between the two athletics directors, at the university, but also an arbitrator to make sure the contract was enforced. But
the governor got involved, Robert Ray.
Robert Ray was involved, yes.
As well. And it was a lot of secret negotiations going on behind the scenes, if you will, between the two sides. Bump Elliott was the Iowa athletic director back then. Lou McCullough was the Iowa State athletic director back then. And That's basically how Iowa State got back onto the football field in 1977. And a lot of the same reasons were given back then that are being bantered about right now on why the basketball teams cannot get together.
Yeah, but I don't think there's the groundswell of support in basketball that the football rivalry had. I mean, those teams hadn't played for 4 or 5 decades, and, you know, they're within 2 hours of one another. And, you know, after that first game, Scott, there were plenty of fans who wondered, what did we do? It was a 12-10 yawner that included something like 21 punts. And ABC was there. Chris Schenkel, I think.
Chris Schenkel did the game.
Grainy ABC telecast. But it's become pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's become one of the top rivalries, I think, as far as in-state is concerned. And it's going to get even better, I believe, out there. But anyway, this legislator.
Jeff Danielson out of Waterloo.
Who is a UNI graduate, now made this announcement today. Now, granted, is probably not only doing this to help you and I, but, yeah, you know, probably to help himself out a little bit as well. We can't deny that. But was wearing a UNI jacket as he made the announcement today. And he wants to get a bill going in the legislature to try to get the series going, to keep it going anyway. I don't know how far it's going to get. I'm not sure on all the details as of yet. I'm not even sure if it includes Drake at this present time. I think he's more worried about you and I. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen with all four. I believe that should be the case. You can't exclude Drake. Now, it is a private institution, Drake is, while you and I, Iowa and Iowa State are public institutions. But I don't think you can kick Drake to the curb if you try to get Iowa, Iowa State, and you and I together.
Yeah, I just don't see how a legislature, despite the fact of a precedence with the Iowa-Iowa State football series, I don't see how a legislature could force these teams to play on an annual basis. But that's what Danielson says he plans to do when the next session starts. Chance for you to weigh in, KGYMRadio.com. Is our poll question, the Emo's Hideaway poll question. Should state lawmakers involve themselves in college athletics? Yes or no? Thanks to Emo's, First Avenue Southeast and Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. And you can also weigh in on the Hurtine and Stocker Jeweler text line 319-366-1600 or give our producer Kyle Mann a call. Same number.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. And I am one to say that, yes, do your job as far as legislating first. If you got time to take care of this situation, then you can take care of this situation. I've gone on record saying I think Iowa State, UNI, and Drake should play every year. I am a firm believer in it. I would rather see Iowa play Drake than Iowa take on Savannah State coming up on Saturday, and there's no reason Iowa can't play Drake. Is it going to take Drake and UNI to play all road games in this series? It might. And is that fair to them? Probably not. And that might be one of the factors keeping them from doing it. I would like to see 3 out of the 4 years played in Iowa City or in Ames, and maybe if the fourth year, a class as you go through the cycle, they get one chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help you. It's going to help you as far as playing on the road, et cetera, getting you ready for hostile environments in the Big Ten or the Big 12 conference. I don't see how it can't help that situation, but I've been wrong before.
We'll keep you up to date on the progress of that bill if it does get off the floor.
319-366-1600, the Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers text line. Also, this just out, Mississippi State. In football news, defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons has just announced that he is going to declare for the 2019 NFL draft. He's one of the top defensive linemen in the country and one of the good ones on that very good Mississippi State defensive line. 30 and a half tackles for a loss over his career, 6 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, and 1 defensive touchdown. Throughout his career. That does not say if he's going to skip. He is going to. Okay.
No, he's going to play.
He is going to play. Okay, very good. Very good. He is going to play. So I'm glad It does not say in this article I'm looking at that if he's going to play or not, but you have seen one that says he is going to play.
Yeah, and he's, for whatever it's worth, he's rated in the top 15 or 20 picks in the upcoming NFL draft. So Iowa is going to face a very, very good defense and a good individual here in Jeffrey Simmons.
And a guy that's wanting to impress a lot of pro scouts. Am I right?
You're right.
He gets one chance to do that coming up. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Adam Rittenberg coming up here in just a little bit. Dave Kochan is going to join us as well coming up in a little bit. We'll ask Dave about there was a bad beat last night.
Yes, there was.
Involving a Big Ten team. The Penn State Nittany Lions against the Duquesne Dukes last
night. Depending on which side you were on.
Yeah, and you could have loved it or you could have hated it. Yeah, last night. Last night's bowl game was a thud as Ohio University all over San Diego State. Tonight at your bowl game du jour is the Gasparilla Bowl with Marshall taking on South Florida, playing on their home surface in Raymond James Stadium, by the way, home of the Outback Bowl, as well as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that plays out tonight. 3:15. And we'll go ahead, we'll take a break and come back. Dave Kochan will join us from Las Vegas right after this. You're listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM.
You've been honing your group of friends for a long time, selecting and keeping the ones who add flavor to life leaving the rest behind. Quality over quantity, always. The same way Third Base has been refining our brews for the past 20 years. Maybe that's the reason good friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in over the holidays. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
The holiday season is sparkling, and so can your gifts. Find something beautiful at Siegel's. Get jewelry at 40 to 75% off retail savings. This sale includes our entire stock of new and estate jewelry, diamonds, watches, tennis bracelets, gold and sterling. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Visit our family-owned and operated store located on First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Find great gifts for everyone on your list during Menards' Christmas sale. Get great results and tools that will last with Bosch Power Tools from Menards. Check out the 18-volt impact driver kit that changes to an impact wrench or the compact driver kit that features 480 inch-pounds of torque. Right now, they're $99 each during Menards' Christmas sale. Prices are good through December 24th. Plus, a Menards gift card is always a great gift idea.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Winning teams have one thing in common. A great lineup you can count on to deliver. It's the same with KGYM and Smart FM. When you need solid, smart sports talk, your starting lineup on The Gym Class is Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, followed by The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And when you're looking for smart rock, Smart FM features an all-star lineup of Just John, Greg, Rick, Glenn, and Cecily. Smart sports on KGYM and smart rock on Smart FM. A solid lineup to get you through every season.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Oh, it's Christmas. You know it's Christmas. And it's our favorite time of year.
Who knew Leonard Skinner did Christmas music?
Ooh, bells will be ringing.
Yeah, some good stuff right there. Got some texts before we get to Dave talking about the legislator that is talking about going to the Iowa legislature and trying to get a bill enacted to have the Big Four Classic continue between Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, and Drake, or at least play the games on campus sites. We've got that. First of all, we start off Paul in Mount Vernon. Yes, every single college employee is technically a state worker. Yeah, you are correct. But Drake is a private institution. That's what I was going for right there. 4702, please tell me why it can't just be like it was in the past. Iowa play at Drake and UNI and vice versa. Well.
Ask Fran McCaffrey and Steve Prohm.
Because it's not 2005 anymore. And Iowa didn't win the last time they went to UNI, and it hurts the RPI, plus the fact two extra Big Ten games coming in. Also, 1964, to me, there is nothing wrong with the state legislator being involved with the college sports because our state tax dollars pay for these state institutions, and every single college employee is technically a state worker. Yes, thank you, Paul. That's Paul from Mount Vernon. I should have read the first part before I read the second part. 25-40, Iowa and Iowa State should play UNI and Drake. Not fan of Big Four Classic, though. Rather see them play in school arenas. I think it's stupid to play cupcake teams in empty arenas when UNI or Drake would either sell out or get real good crowds. I couldn't say it any better, 25-40 out there. Keep them coming. 319-366-1600. Dave Koken set to join us here right now from Las Vegas. And Dave, of course, joining us here. You can check him out online at Dave Koken. That is his address as far as Twitter is concerned. And smokingkoken.com is the website. And happy holidays to you, Dave. How you doing?
I'm geared up, ready to go for Christmas and New Year's. Always a fun time of year.
It is a great time of the year. Unless you had, Duquesne last night?
I wasn't involved in the game, but that's an all-timer. Tie game with 5 seconds roughly to play. Foul gets called on Duquesne, which draws the ire of Keith Damrott, the Duquesne coach, who's actually doing a really good job there. And he lost his mind. He lost his mind. They called for a double technical. And Penn State, which only shoots 67% from the line, 6 free throws, 6 makes, and that's the end of the game because they get the ball on the technicals as well. So if you had Duquesne plus 5.5, that is just an unbelievably bad beat. And if you've got Penn State minus a 5.5, you probably should be loading up on lottery tickets today.
You've seen a lot in your career, Dave, obviously. Is there an all-timer that sticks out like this?
Yeah, there's plenty of them. I mean, I've been doing it for so long, and some I've been on the right side of, some I've been on the wrong side of. But there's crazy stuff out there all the time.
Yeah.
And when you think you've seen it all, something else will happen. I recall a college basketball game. It was the Metro Atlantic game. I can't remember the team involved. It was 3 or 4 years ago, and some kid hit a 3, which is going to win the game for whatever side he played on, and I had that side. And he kind of celebrated a little bit. It was like 1 second ago. And the official, the ref calls him for a technical. And it swung the bet, which was just like, you got to be kidding me. So there's always, sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't.
I would agree. Dave Koken joining us from Las Vegas here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. You're not playing the bowl game tonight. Unfortunately, you did last night. That was a kind of a snoozer.
Yeah, I got that one wrong.
Yeah. Well, after the way Northern Illinois looked the other night, I can't blame you for going against the MAC, but Ohio made San Diego State look bad.
Yeah, I had some reservations going in. To be honest with you, because San Diego State just isn't that good this year. It fits some rushing stats that I like in the bowl games, and it just didn't work. They're not all going to win.
Is looking towards the weekend, Dave, the NFL games, these last 2 weeks more difficult than other weeks because, you don't know who's going to play and for how long?
No, not really.
No?
Sometimes the information can be tremendous benefit. Because the thing is, you do know. This isn't the NBA. In the NFL, you actually do know who's going to play. Because those injury reports are first rate in the NFL. It's not like the NBA where, 10 minutes before game time, somebody who wasn't supposed to play is playing, or somebody who's supposed to play isn't. And to me, that's way more of a crapshoot.
Mm.
Now, the NFL's information stream is as good as it gets.
Unless you're Bill Belichick.
No, but Belichick, he's no different. He might not say anything in press conferences, but you can tell from the injury reports who's going to be playing and who's not. The NFL, look, no matter what their stance was throughout the years, And, of course, it's changed now. But no matter what their stance was, behind the scenes, they've always loved gambling in the NFL. It's the lifeblood of the league. The league was founded by bookmakers.
What's the word in Vegas? Are the Raiders going to be there next year?
No.
No?
0% chance they'll be in Las Vegas next year.
Okay.
There's no place they can play here. Sam Boyd Stadium is not equipped to host an NFL team. So I don't know where Oakland will be next year. They'll be here in 2020 but when the new stadium's open. But next year, your guess is as good as mine. Could be Oakland. Could be Santa Clara. Could be San Diego. Could be San Antonio. Could be Reno. I don't know. I have no idea.
Could be anywhere.
Well, they just take a year off and reboot.
Yeah, right.
That's not going to happen.
Well, I know they don't want to be in Oakland, but there may not be any place else for them to play.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Not sure Oakland wants them to be there either, but they're going to play somewhere.
I think Oakland wants them to be there because that's revenue. Okay? No matter what Oakland says, that's revenue. But they might have lost the revenue because Mark Davis is pretty adamant that he wants now to play someplace else.
Yeah, very true.
I don't think the league will let him play in San Diego because I don't think they want three. The scheduling would be a mess. I don't think they want three teams in Southern California at once. Davis does not want to play in Santa Clara. I actually think that Reno is a possibility. It hasn't really been talked about, but you know, the stadium's on campus. They want to be in Reno for their training camp. And what better way to enamor yourself with city officials than to move them there for a season and get Reno all that money?
Interesting.
And, by the way, there's a really big Raiders fan base in Reno.
Interesting.
319-366-1600 is Dave Koken joins us from Las Vegas. Pro side, any game kind of catch your eye this weekend?
Not yet, because I am waiting for the injury reports this week. I do want to, you know, obviously, some of the lines have already moved with the Cam Newton information, and but no, I haven't played yet, so I can't give you anything. I'm chiseling in stone.
You're watching the ice tonight, Dave. It sounds like.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll be out there in the NHL. Golden Knights are back home tonight. Big price against the Islanders. This would be one of those games where it might not be a bad idea to play a three-way or go with the minus 1.5. And for half the bet, and then half the bet on the money line to reduce the liability on the money line. But the game to go on the night should win. The game, I won't have a bet on the game, but the game to watch tonight is Toronto, Tampa Bay and Calgary. That is a really fun matchup. Could be a lot of goals scored in the game. And those are two of the best teams in the league. And Calgary's been really good at home.
Mm. Yeah, just looking at the NFL for the weekend, some big lines. You got 14, you got another one at 10, you got another one at 9.5. Usually don't see that very often in the National Football League.
No, but that factors into the situation that some of the teams are involved in this weekend, and they've got to adjust the lines accordingly. So you actually do see big lines late in the season. And so it's no different than it normally is last 2 weeks of the year. But the thing to remember is that nobody really tanks in the NFL, okay? And over the years, the non-contenders have actually done pretty well against the number when playing contenders in the last 2 weeks of the season. The common thought is, you know, the thought is, well, Team A needs the game, and Team B doesn't care. They're going to have Team A, but it just doesn't work out that way.
Give us an idea of the activity in the sports books on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day with all the bowl games.
I don't know, because I'm never in the sports book, but I assume it's busy. But, you know, eventually the day's going to come with it. I mean, it's not going to happen for a while, but eventually the day's going to come with it. The sports books will not be very big. You'll have areas where people can come and watch the games, but the apps have taken over. And most people like to bet at home, sit there and watch the games, and just sit in their underwear and bet on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier.
I read.
I have not been.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I have not bet in a sports book in years. many, many years.
I know we've talked about this as states have legalized gambling, and I read New Jersey with an excellent take at last report. Are there different states doing it right?
Well, yeah, everybody's doing it right, as far as I can tell. They're following the Nevada model, and the Nevada model works just fine.
That's what I was getting at, actually, you know. Yeah.
And most of the books have tie-ins to books out here anyway.
Yeah. Well, we got Iowa and Iowa State. We'll talk about that coming up next week as we get closer to some of the more major bowls, if you will. Not that the Gasparilla Bowl is not a major bowl. We are not
Dave
saying that.
Dave doesn't care how big they
no,
are.
No, they don't. We don't care. But
they're all big games to me.
They're all big.
I bet on it it's a big game, and if I don't, then it's not, I guess. the better, the more exciting matchups are down the road.
True.
And, you know, if there was no such thing as sports betting, you'd have like eight people watching this Marshall-South Florida game.
Tonight. Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's about how many people were in the stands last night for Ohio-San Diego State.
They'll do better. This game's going to do much better because South Florida, it's a virtual home game for South Florida because they're just, you know, they're over in Tampa. And they sold out their allotment. And Marshall should send their share of fans to the game. So actually might have a good crowd for this one.
Very much so. Very much so indeed. And, Dave, we wish you happy holidays and have a Merry Christmas out in Vegas. And we'll talk to you. We'll break down Iowa and Iowa State coming up next week. But happy holidays to you and yours out there.
Thanks to you guys and all the listeners on Jim Clash. Have a happy holiday.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. 3:31. The food is getting to me from earlier on today. We got some more text as far as the legislator is concerned. We talked about that a little bit earlier on today. 8705, it's a two-parter here. He's saying, give me a chance to go on to my soapbox. Why don't legislators focus on pressing matters like, say, the underfunded public schools throughout the state? Legislators... legislation over a bygone college basketball rivalry. Please, times change. Move on. So there you go. A perspective from the other side. Is it going to take something from the legislature to get this and keep it going? I don't know. I agree. I also agree that this, I'd rather see Iowa play you and I. I'd rather see Iowa play Drake than Iowa play Savannah State or Iowa play Bryant.
Is Jeff Danielson really responding to his constituents by bringing this up, or is it a selfish thing for him? Again, I don't see the groundswell of support for a resumption, either a resumption of the Big Four or requiring the four state schools to play one another during the year.
Well, Big Four is going to go away.
Yeah.
That's going to go away. And a lot of the reason was that the Big Four was created was major sponsor that they brought in with Hy-Vee, and Hy-Vee is not going to be involved in it anymore. So the Big Four getting together at one venue at Wells Fargo and having the four teams play two games isn't going to happen. It's now going to be, if you have a one-off playing for a year in Iowa City or in Ames for Drake going up there or you and I going down, that's what you're going to have now.
Well, you and I, Drake's taken care of. They play two games a year.
Correct.
Because
they play
they're
twice.
In the same league.
Correct. Iowa and Iowa State, we know, is taken care of. It's just, is Iowa going to continue to play you and I under Iowa's terms, or is Iowa State going to continue to play you and I and Drake under Iowa State's terms? And more than likely, that means you are going to come to Hilton. You are going to come to Carver-Hawkeye. You are going to enjoy it. We'll give you a little bit of a stipend, and we move on. Have a nice day.
Speaking of stipends, I don't know for sure, but Co may get a nice stipend tonight. The Cohawks playing at Creighton of the Big East. 7:00 on national television, Scott.
Yes.
What great exposure for my alma mater. These teams haven't met since 1928, so they're not familiar with one another, obviously. Co being a Division II school and Creighton in one of the power conferences. Interestingly, this game will count in the regular season record for Creighton, but it will not factor in the net or RPI that are used to determine the NCAA tournament field. Co, on the other hand, nothing will count towards the record or the season statistics.
It's an exhibition game.
It is.
Is what it is, and I don't know how this game got going. I don't know why this exhibition game is being played on December the 20th. Could be just because the holiday break, if you will, is around the corner. Maybe this was the only time they could get it in the Quest Center. I don't know.
All I read is it was a late addition to the schedule.
Somebody may have pulled out that Creighton had under a contract, and instead of paying another Division I team, they're going to bring Co over. And obviously there is a tie-in somewhere between Co and Creighton.
Hmm. Well, Greg McDermott is the coach at Creighton.
Correct. Eastern Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, though. It's great for the Co kids to go over there. They're playing back-to-back, though.
They thumped Beloit last night by 23 in Racine, Wisconsin, and then bust to Omaha.
There's nothing better than busing from Racine to Omaha on your Thursday.
Well, you want to get out of Racine, but
oh, now, come on, man. Racine's a beautiful place.
I'm looking forward to watching a little bit of it until it gets out of hand. Might be a very little bit of
you
it.
You were trying to set the line, too.
Oh, yeah, of course there's no line, but what would I be happy with? If Co stays within...
if Co stays within...
30?
30, I would be... You know, I think that's a win. I think that's a win right there.
Yeah, how much is Creighton starters going to play? Yeah.
There you go. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, college football writer, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. We may have your answer coming up here with Kyle as he joins us here in the studio about the connection between Co and Creighton.
Yep, Tom from Vinton called in. He passed along that Adam McDermott plays for Co, and he is the nephew of Greg McDermott.
Uh-huh. Oh, there you go.
Uh-huh.
Boom.
Former Xavier Saint.
Thank you, Tom and Vinton.
Tom, know what kind of dough Co's going to bring back.
He didn't mention it. He did not mention that.
Co's going to get a little check for going over there. There's no doubt. You get to play at the Quest Center?
Yeah.
One of the...
Again, on national TV.
On national television, this can't hurt you at all if you're the Co Hawks. So, hey, bully to them for going over to Omaha and
there's
playing
the McDermott Creighton connection.
There's
okay,
the
thank you very
connection
much.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Adam Rittenberg joins us. We'll talk some college football bowl action when we come back.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with a super important holiday message from KFC. No more gifts. Your family and friends just want you to buy them one of my KFC $5 fill-ups. They're packed full of Kentucky Fried Chicken, mashed potatoes, a biscuit, cookie, and a drink. It's the thought that counts, and the thought is that they're hungry. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Sometimes the smallest things can mean the most. Show her how you feel with Red Bow deals at JCPenney. Dazzling jewelry gifts that come all wrapped up and ready to give. Hurry in now for up to 80% off Red Bow deals in fine jewelry. Plus, enjoy amazing deals like half carat total weight diamond hoops or bracelet for $49.99 when you take 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney, style and value for all. Offers valid 12/20 to 12/24. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Put a smile on everyone's face this holiday with great gifts from Amazon. With low prices and fast free delivery with Prime. For everything you need this holiday, visit Amazon.
or Mark's favorite Christmas band. Little Mannheim Steamroller as we come back. It is Gym Class on this Thursday here on KGYM. 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And we're going to talk, give you recap what happened last night on the lanes. We'll do that here in just a little bit. But first, we get ready to talk some college bowl action. Iowa and Iowa State will get into their bowl games coming up next week. And to talk about that with us from ESPN, Adam Rittenberg joins us here on this Thursday edition of the show. Adam, happy holidays. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. Happy holidays to you, too.
Appreciate it. And are you ready for the Gasparilla Bowl tonight?
How could we not be? Adam Schefter, my colleague at ESPN, tweeted, what are we going to do without a Thursday night NFL game? And that's a bad question to those of us in the college bowl pools and all that, because we got some college bowl action. So, yeah, there's nothing like the Gasparilla Bowl to get you excited on a Thursday night in December.
You posted a couple hours ago, Mississippi State defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons is declaring for the draft, but will play in the Outback Bowl, unlike Noah Fant from Iowa. How good is this Mississippi State defense?
It's outstanding. It's one of the statistically elite defenses in the last 5 years. You know, Bob Shoup, who has experience in the Big Ten, former Penn State defensive coordinator, has done a tremendous job in his first year at Mississippi State. You know, they have two high-level defensive linemen in Jeffrey Simmons, who you mentioned, and Montez Sweat, who began his career at Michigan State and has transformed into one of the top pass rushers in college football. So this is going to be a real test for Iowa's offensive line and Nate Stanley and everybody to try to score points and move the ball, because Mississippi State's very talented. They're one of the few defenses that did a nice job against Tua Tagovailoa and that Alabama offense.
First to 20, if anyone gets to 20, wins this game?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Both defenses have been really good. Mississippi State offensively, I don't think, has played to its potential all the time with Nick Fitzgerald. And although he's had some good performances, it hasn't been that, you know, instant dynamic combination with Joe Moorhead's offense that I thought some of us thought would be the case. So, yeah, I would imagine both defenses will carry the day, and it'll be a low-scoring game. But you'll see if Iowa can find a way to get a win. It would be a little bit surprising to me, because I think Mississippi State's more talented. Their record, I know the same record as Iowa, but I think this is a Mississippi State team that probably underachieved a little bit this season.
Speaking of Noah Fant, just your thoughts about not only Noah but others that decide to skip the bowl game and to get ready for the NFL draft. It's going to become kind of – I think it's going to be more unusual a few years down the road when top seniors play in a game than when they miss a game. Do you agree with that?
Right. Yeah, I think we all have to look at bowl games differently. I think we have to look at them much more about spinning forward to the next season than culminating this season or celebrating the current season or the current senior class. And there's always going to be examples of seniors who want to play in their last game, or juniors who – like Jeffrey Simmons, who are going to go to the draft but still play in the game. But I think it's going to be much more about, you know, which freshman who is probably getting the season back to redshirt are we going to see more of in the game? Is it going to be a new quarterback? Is it going to be a new star on defense or wherever it is? That's how we have to view bowl games. And I think we can all, you know, kind of we can lament the old days when these games mattered a little bit more and it was always games that featured star players, but those days are over. So I think it's about changing our own view of bowl games to be able to enjoy them in different ways.
Thousands of Iowa State fans are going to flock to San Antonio, Adam, for a matchup against Washington State in the Alamo Bowl. Is this one of the better bowl matchups?
It is. It almost always is. This particular Alamo Bowl historically has been a great, you know, pre-New Year's Day bowl. Or pre-New Year's Six Bowl now, and I think it will be again this year. I think they probably knew something in their selection. I was anticipating it was going to be Washington State and West Virginia, but maybe it had gotten out to the bowl folks that Will Grier wasn't going to play in the bowl game, West Virginia star quarterback. So they go with Iowa State, who I think will certainly be ready to play, and Washington State will be as well. Washington State was a team that felt that they should have been part of the New Year's Six. They won 10 games this year. They're very close to winning their first Pac-12 North Division championship. They fell in the Apple Cup. Obviously have an outstanding quarterback in Gardner Minshew, but Iowa State's defense has shown that it can handle, you know, really good quarterbacks, and it handled Will Grier in the air raid offense back on October 13th. So I'm really interested to see the kind of chess match between Iowa State's defense and this Mike Leach air raid offense for Washington State.
Well, you got two up-and-coming programs with Mike Leach at Washington State and what Matt Campbell has done so far in Ames for Iowa State. I think it's an unfair question, but I'll ask it anyway. Who needs this game more? Because I think both, a loss isn't going to kill either one of these teams.
No. And like you said, what Matt has done in Ames has been extraordinary. And that program, the arrow continues to point up for them. You're going into his third season, and it's exciting that he'll be back. Unless an NFL team plucks him out of there, he'll be back at Iowa State next year. I think with a team that might be able to compete for even more than they did this season. I think for Washington State, it's a little bit more important because, they lost their last game. They lost the Apple Cup again. You know, didn't get a chance to compete for a Pac-12 championship. Didn't get a chance to be in the New Year's Six. You know, they lose Gardner Minshew, who's been just a wonderful story this year in college football. So, you know, they're going to look back at this once again as a great season. But they haven't done as well in the bowl games recently. So I think for Washington State, it's more important for them to finish the season with Minshew and get a win to cement one of the better seasons in team history. Whereas Iowa State, I think you're going to look at this program pretty much the same way, regardless if they win or lose a game.
Better or more interesting hire in the Big 12? Les Miles at Kansas, Chris Klieman at Kansas State.
Well, I graded all the hires, Mark, a couple of days ago for ESPN Plus, and gave the Chris Klieman hire a significant higher grade than I did Les Miles. And maybe that's an unpopular opinion, and I could see Les having success in Lawrence, but I really love what Chris Klieman brings to Kansas State and the success he had at North Dakota State, understanding that, hey, it's not just about recruiting, but it's about development. And at Kansas State, you have to have that approach because you're never going to win on every recruiting battle. So you have to be creative in your approach from a recruiting standpoint, but also be able to develop the talent you have. And I think what he did at North Dakota State is a great kind of preparation for him to now move into the FBS. And I think he's a guy that can succeed a Hall of Fame coach, a legend like Bill Snyder, and look back at his own experience. And, you know, I've won national championships. I may win another one this year. So he's not going to be intimidated making that transition. Whereas I have major concerns about Les Miles. I mean, you know, Les Miles got fired because he didn't evolve offensively in the SEC with top-level players. So how is he going to keep up in the Big 12 with not top-level players? That's a major concern for me.
Adam Rittenberg joining us, 3:47 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Let's look at the college football playoff. You've got Clemson taking on Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl, but I think a lot of the eyes are going to be on the Orange Bowl with Heisman winner Kyler Murray taking on Alabama and Tua right there.
Maybe Tua.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how it all plays out if Jalen Hurts gets in there, but Alabama, Oklahoma, I think, has got everybody's attention at this point anyway. And can Oklahoma give them a game?
Well, you know, I think they can if their defense shows up and gets a couple of stops. And they're probably going to need a less than 100% Tua Tagovailoa to have a chance in this game. I mean, we just haven't seen Oklahoma defensively perform well enough to stop an offense like Alabama's on a consistent basis. And you know that Alabama's defense isn't going to allow points on every possession. We don't know that about Oklahoma's defense. So I think you're going to see Tua out there. I just don't know how healthy he'll be and whether he'll be able to do everything that makes him such an electrifying player. So that's certainly a storyline. Kyler Murray's going to be great. He's going to put up some points. But I just don't know if Oklahoma can keep pace for four quarters with this Alabama team that I know they struggled at times in the Georgia game, but they really did seem to get better and better as the season went along.
I want to ask you about a story, Adam, you wrote at ESPN.com about the enormous buyouts that coaches like Bobby Petrino and Gus Malzahn get and the pickle that schools paint themselves into. Talk a little bit about your article, if you will.
Yeah, it was from a couple of weeks ago, and just with the, you know, this year's coaching carousel, I think was very much shaped by these buyouts. And, you know, with Petrino, it was Louisville, you know, swallowing hard and realizing we have to make a change here, even though the contract makes it really difficult for us to do that. And then at Auburn, you know, just a year ago, agreeing to this kind of ridiculous deal for Gus Malzahn, because they were worried about losing him to Arkansas. And yes, he'd won the SEC West. Yes, he'd beaten Alabama. But they put themselves in a spot where if they had a bad year or a subpar year like they had this year, they really couldn't make a change. And that may be the case even next year because of the amounts that are owed. So I you talk to people around the industry, how did we get here? And I think certain contracts over the years, whether it was Nick Saban's first deal at Alabama or certainly Jimbo Fisher's contract last year at Texas A&M, it sort of reset the market. And these schools are so afraid of losing coaches that they agree to things that they wouldn't agree to with any other part of their university from a financial standpoint. So it's just crazy money. It's bad money. And I do wonder if the structure of these contracts is going to start to change in the future. Maybe shorter contracts, more guaranteed money up front, but not putting yourself in a position where you owe a coach millions and millions for many years and can't really do anything if the coach and the team starts to struggle.
Adam, aside from the Big Four, or at least the college football four and those two semifinal games, just tell the folks out there what game you're looking forward to as far as the bowl season is concerned the most.
Sure. Well, I think that, you know, most of the New Year's Sticks I'm really excited about. I think the Rose Bowl with Urban Meyer, his last game at Ohio State, is going to be interesting to see how they perform with Dwayne Haskins, who we're all anticipating to go to the NFL draft and likely be the first quarterback from the Big Ten picked in the first round since Kerry Collins back in 1995. So it's sort of Urban's last game, most likely Dwayne's last game, against a really talented Washington secondary, maybe the most talented secondary in the country with the Huskies. And then also UCF. I mean, there's been obviously a lot of talk about the playoff possibly expanding. Here's UCF with a chance to run the table for the second consecutive season. First team to do that since Nebraska in the mid-90s. And they would obviously be beating another SEC team, LSU, in a major bowl game. An LSU team that should be a little bit more motivated than Auburn was last year. So that's another one in the Fiesta Bowl I'll be very excited to watch.
Am I crazy? Because I keep pointing at Florida and Michigan, just the way they're talking about one another, mm-hmm. with Harbaugh in there against Mullen. And they've had some bad blood in the past. I want to watch the Peach Bowl for some reason.
Yeah, I hope other people, you know, for our rating sake, will agree with you. I mean, you have a lot of people missing the bowl game, though, Scott. I mean, today Caron Higdon announced he's not going to play. Devin Bush has an injury for Michigan. He's not going to play. Florida has more guys out there. And I picked Michigan. I'm not feeling too good about that pick. They obviously played in the regular season last year. They played in a bowl game a couple of years ago. So there's certainly some familiarity between the two teams, and that could lead to some fireworks down in Atlanta. I think for Florida, it was a really positive first year under Dan Mullen. And then for Michigan, it was a really positive year right until the end. And I think the hard part for Michigan guys is, you know, what are they able to do from now until Ohio State next year that's going to really matter? Mm-hmm. They could win this bowl game. They could lose this bowl game. They could beat Notre Dame. They could lose to Notre Dame. They could beat Michigan State or lose to Michigan State. But in my mind, nothing matters for Michigan until they step on the field against the Buckeyes because of their continued struggles in that series.
Very true. Very true out there. A lot of great bowls to come in the next couple weeks, and read Adam's stuff at ESPN. Adam, always appreciate you coming on with us, and happy holidays again.
All right, guys. Same to you. Have a good Christmas and New Year.
All right, thanks. Adam Rittenberg joining us here at 3:53. We'll take a break, come back, let you know what happened on the lanes last night, update you on the poll question as well. It's Gym Class coming away on KGYM.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Every journey starts with a single step. On your retirement journey, make sure your first step is finding Medicare Supplement Insurance with Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We want you to find answers to all your questions about Medicare. Go to wellmark.com/Medicare today and get your free Medicare Matters guide or find a local expert to talk to. Then, let the journey begin. Wellmark. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Is she driving you crazy planning this wedding? Tell her about the Z102.9 Wedding Show, Sunday, January 13th at the DoubleTree by Hilton in downtown Cedar Rapids. She can talk to vendors and watch a fashion show. It's free. Find out where to get a registration card and other stuff at kgymradio.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done?
Back in the Gym Class on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, and 106.3. Thanks to Adam Rittenberg for joining us, and thanks as well to Dave Kochen for joining us. Kevin Lehman tomorrow to talk some college basketball in the latest edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. That'll be coming up on the program tomorrow as well. Speaking of Emil's, we have a poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway at kgymradio.com.
Should state lawmakers involve themselves in college athletics? Yes or no? Right now it's unanimous. No.
Which doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
Which doesn't surprise me at all. 319-366-1600. That's the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line. Want to let you know as well that coming up next, it's the Todd Promelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They're live at Mulligan's with the KGYM road trip. That's on Old Marion Road. They've got a bushel basket full of prizes to give away. Mm-hmm. So stop on by. You must be present to win the prizes, though. That's the prerequisite. So stop on by. Say hi to Alex and Todd out there. Last night, a standing room only holiday crowd at May City Bowl. And our May City Bowl Bowling Night in America wrap up is brought to you by May City on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Stop on by.
Well, you and I were spectators last night, along with Hall of Famer Roger Bruner.
The Hall of Famer.
Watching his couple sons bowl. But frankly, the Rusty Nails spinning their wheels right now, Scott.
One step forward, two steps back.
The boys got first game convincingly and then lost the last two. Second game narrowly, but we did pull out the series. So the points went 2-2, i.e. spinning our wheels. And we enter the holiday break ninth place in the 14-team league. With a chance to get to that left side and make some noise, but we got to pick it up.
Got to pick it up. It's still top three pulled away a little bit. Fourth is within doing distance, I think. It's going to take a long winning streak to get to anywhere close to number one, but we'll see.
A lot of good scores last night. Devin Bragg, 286 for high game in the Evergreen League. 7 700s last night, Scott, led by our friend Joel Donner, 782.
Very nice.
Including a 279 game.
Good rolling, Joel. Good rolling. And, yeah, some look like a lot of good scores last night as we were out taking it in.
They're ready to accommodate you over the holidays, whether it's a gift or open bowling. Give May City Bowl a call, 362-0136. Inquire about options. Or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
They've got a great list of things planned for New Year's Eve Day, too. So stop on by, and, you know, if you got people in town, bring them out.
We don't have a show that day.
We can go bowl. We need the practice. Maybe that's the whole thing. We schedule a practice, Mark.
That will be met Not well.
All right. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 with the Gym Class, KGYM.